There we are. Good morning. We have a few announcements as we begin this morning. One is the directory. A new directory is going to be printed in February, and so if you haven't made your corrections yet, the card table right outside the office is the place to do it. So do it now. And we will appreciate that very much. Let's see. Are there any other announcements? Carmen, hi, how are you?
It's short, I lost my stool.
It's underneath your chair.
Ah.
There you go. We love stools. There you go.
There, that's better.
Yeah.
I think people have been asking about the search committee, and we have not received any new profiles since like October. So I have emailed Joanne Bell Haynes, but I think she left yesterday for the mission trip. So when she gets back, I'll be sure and get in better contact with her regarding that. And hopefully we'll have some new profiles come in when she gets back. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, good.
Okay, thank you. The other announcement is, point of privilege, 2/3 of my family is here today. Ooh, woo-hoo. One's playing a little bit of hooky, but anyway. Johnny's here, of course, but my daughter Hava is here. Hi, Javi. She is sitting in between Mike Ward and Nick. So there she is right there, that cute thing. So with that, it's a mother's privilege to embarrass her children, no matter how old they are. Why don't y'all stand up and greet one another for just a minute?
Thank you.
Thank you, Arlen. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? The world belongs to God, the earth, and all its peoples.
How good and how lovely it is to live together in unity.
Love and faith come together. Justice and peace join hands.
We are the Lord's disciples. We follow Jesus in our hearts, our hands, and our whole selves.
Let us give thanks to God.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our opening hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 86. God of the prophets, God of Jesus and John, open our eyes to the light of your dawn that our souls may be flooded with love, mercy, and joy. Open our hearts to receive your message. Open our spirits to follow the path you put before us that we may follow in the way of God. This we pray in the name of your beloved Son who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the
kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Okay, Reese, I see you have the basket. Are you going to uncover it for me? Oh! What is it? It's a toolkit. It's a toolkit, isn't it? Wow, this is nice. So there are lots of tools in here. Yes. See, there's a hammer and a screwdriver. Can you guys take some out and we'll look at them? Another hammer with a claw on it. And screwdrivers and wrenches. My goodness, there's lots of tools in there to help us do things. Reese, do you like to build things? You like to build things. Does any of the rest of you like to build things? What have you built, Blake? A Pinewood Derby car. Cool. Has anyone else built something? Yes, what have you built?
Tower.
A tower? Oh, great. What else did you make?
A birdhouse.
A birdhouse? Oh, I may have to get a contract with you. I need a new birdhouse. Anyone else build something? Yes.
I built a fort.
You built a fort? Very nice. Has anyone else built things? Well, I'm impressed when people can build things with their hands. So, yes, Zoe.
A fort too.
You've built a fort too? Did you build your fort out of blankets or wood or bricks? Blankets. So when we build things though, we have to be careful that we build them with good materials, right? Or they fall down, right? So we have to be good builders. We have to use good materials. You know, Jesus told a story about building your house. Do you want to build your house on sand? No. Do you want to build your house on good, solid ground? Yeah. So when you're building things, we've got to build on the solid surface. And that means when we build, we need to remember God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit when we're building things and putting things together. That'll make them stronger. Okay. If you'll give the tools back to Reese for his toolbox. And we'll get those in a little bit here. Does somebody else want the basket? Okay, Macy. Okay, Macy will take the basket. And let's say a quick prayer. Dear God, thank you for giving us tools to build wonderful things for our planet, to help us build homes and garages and birdhouses and cars and forts. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, let's go to Sunday school, worship and wonder.
And Legos. And Kinects. And erector sets. As we come now to our time of prayer, we have a few prayer concerns to share. Debbie, how are you? Debbie had a fall this weekend. She's a little banged up. But she's doing all right. Mary Stinson is one of our quilters, and Mary is in hospice care. Mary's husband's name is Raymond, so please keep Mary and Raymond Stinson in your prayers the next couple of weeks, please. Keith is off and in Puerto Rico, and Pam, we have an update.
finally made it to Puerto Rico. Had a little hiccup on the way down. The flight got canceled, so he ended up driving down to Denver. Thank God for Karen and John. He let us use their car and John to keep to the hotel. He's down there. He says it's nice and warm. It's been raining, and they had service this morning. He said it was absolutely inspiring, though I couldn't understand half of it because it was in Spanish. But he said you could just definitely tell God was there. So he's looking forward to the rest of the week.
Okay, Keith is in Puerto Rico. He attended worship this morning, which of course it was in Spanish, but he said it was an amazing worship service. So keep Keith and the whole mission team in your prayers this week as they work in Puerto Rico. Are there other joys or concerns this morning? Carmen.
My coworkers and I are dealing with a homeless man, and he's dealing with addiction, health concerns, homelessness, and he needs some prayers. His name is James, and just keep him in your thoughts and prayers. He's really having a difficult time in life.
The Wyoming Music Educators Association is having a conference over the next 3 days. So.
Okay. That's a joy.
Yeah.
And
sure.
A concern. So.
Not
a concern, but
oh,
it yes, a joy and yes. The Wyoming Music Educators Association is meeting over the next 3 days, so that's a joy, and we want to lift them up. And Pam, yes.
Madison would like prayer. She's under the weather again with the flu or whatever, but she's having an MRI on
Madison
Tuesday for her back. She's been having a lot of issues with the back, knees, hips, so we're just trying to figure out what's going on.
And Madison's having an MRI on her back this week. Okay, Steve Brown. And your friend. Yes, Belle.
Joy, Dominic is back with us. Yeah.
Yay!
And Dominic's cat was injured, hit run over by a car, but he's home and recovering. So Dominic would like prayers for his cat, Charlie.
Well, yes. All right. Yes, Debbie.
I'd like to thank everybody who showed up yesterday when our preacher just didn't come, so I really appreciate we just came and did it. And everybody else set up here for the blankets and made blankets. There were 11 blankets made yesterday. So thank you for all the
Let's join together in prayer. Grace-filled God, we come together this morning aware and open to the new light that you have given us in Jesus. We come together to refocus our priorities and to become more alert to your action in our lives. We come together to find new joy in all the ways you have blessed us. And we come together seeking your direction in ways that we might break down the barriers we have created among ourselves and against you so that others may be drawn into your life-saving love. We come to hear again the summons of Jesus to follow me. We ask that we might be led in ways where we might proclaim the gospel of your realm in our daily living. We recommit to you all of ourselves, our devotion, our time, our talents, our commitment to faithful service. For you, O God, bring light into our darkness. You increase our joy. You ease our burdens. And so in faith, we set those burdens before you that you might lighten the yoke upon our shoulders. This day, we place before you our fragmented, busy lives. Teach us, loving God, that we need not depend on our doing and having for our sense of worth. We place before you our friends, the hurt, the addicted, the sorrowing, the struggling, the frustrated, the fragile. Teach us the compassion of care as we reach out to others in acts of love. We place before you our church. Teach us the way of trust and mercy and grace and forgiveness, that we may be one community of faith united in your love. We place before you our broken world, a world yearning for justice and freedom. Teach us the paths of peace and give us a brighter vision and hope for the future. Merciful God, we open ourselves this day to your ceaseless outpouring of love. We awake each day to your presence. When we are anxious or troubled, you comfort us. When we are faced with difficult choices that confuse us, you are there to guide us. You have surrounded us with your love before we even turn to you. May we in turn follow you as faithful disciples our whole life long. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As disciples of Christ, it is our tradition to invite all followers of Jesus Christ to join in the celebration of Holy Communion as just one way to celebrate our given unity in Jesus and his church. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you the right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Let's sing hymn number 400, When You Do This, Remember Me, as we prepare for communion.
Which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me." And after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, which is for you. As often as you drink it, do so in memory of me."
Host of our feast, we come to you hungry and thirsty and isolated. Praise you, O Lord, for preparing this feast for us, that we may be filled with your light and your life, that we may be refreshed by your grace, and that we may be connected to you, to your promises, to Christians now and forever in this place and around the world. This is a feast. Thank you for inviting us here. In Christ's name, amen.
Beside the lake shore long ago, Jesus called to his disciples, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." Jesus calls us today, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." The ministry begun by the Sea of Galilee continues in our day when we proclaim the good news of God's love. Let us give with joy as we follow Jesus. The diaconate will collect our offerings. O God, we have seen your glory, felt the touch of your love, and felt your presence with us. With joyful hearts, we offer you our gifts. Having heard your call, we offer you our lives and our service. Amen.
Oh, Rick Black. It works if you turn it on, doesn't it? I didn't turn it on. Oops. Well. Oh, everybody, it works if you turn it on. Imagine that. Here I am, trying to mute it and not let you hear my singing. You wouldn't have heard my singing anyway. Anyway. First scripture lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 9, but only verses 1 and 2. That's on page 638 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. But there will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, on page 3 in the New Testament section. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Let's see, put that right here. There, here we go. The setting is a small fishing village, Collinsport, Maine. High on Widow's Hill stands Collinwood, the brooding family mansion. It's a home of dark mysteries and intrigue. Within its great halls stalk the tormented residents of the estate, ghosts, witches, werewolves, held captives by spells reaching out from the depths of time. Young Vicky Winters has come here to be the governess of 10-year-old David Collins, heir to the family fortune. And also be companion to Elizabeth Collins Stoddard, the inscrutable mistress of Collinwood. To young Vicky's surprise, ominous events unfold not only in the present, but in the past. The supernatural is commonplace at Collinwood, home of the family's 175-year-old resident vampire, Barnabas Collins. Yes. That's the premise for Dark Shadows, that gothic soap opera from the mid-60s. Vampires and ghosts and traveling through time and really poor acting and way too much makeup on Barnabas's eyes. Will Maggie Evans ever recover her memory? Will the doctor's experiments enable Barnabas the vampire to be seen in daylight? Will David ever convince Miss Winters that Sarah really is a ghost? Will anyone believe that Willie isn't crazy and there really is a vampire living there? Why does the doctor smoke in Willie's hospital intensive care room? Those are the pressing questions of the day. It was 1967, and at 4 o'clock, every single day after school, Monday through Friday, I used to watch Dark Shadows with my mother, and it scared me to death. Why I watched it, I don't know, but I did. And to this day, I've told you before, I'm scared of the dark. This could be why. I still remember the nightmares that I had about the ghosts and the vampires and the graveyards. I knew that a ghost or a vampire was going to jump up out of my floor and grab me. Mostly it was this. She'd turn out the lights at night when I would go to bed, and I knew Dark Shadows had people coming up out of the graves. You know, the hands coming up out of the graves. Oops, sorry. I still see that at night. When I turn out the lights to go to bed, close my eyes, I think there are hands coming up out of the floor to grab me out of the grave. Dark Shadows was really good at that. Did you know that, Johnny? Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. This is the origin of that. I have always been afraid of the dark, hated the dark. So you see, as soon as Matthew mentions Zebulun, Naphtali, I get stuck in that darkness right there. So did you hear it, Matthew? Did you hear it? Did you catch it? Matthew loves to quote scripture, and like many of us, Matthew takes a few liberties with scripture. It's kind of like Hebrew scripture according to Matthew. You know, we know it's in scripture somewhere, and we can kind of quote it, so we make up our own little version of it. Matthew says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." That sounds good. Isaiah says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." They walked, they didn't sit. "Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." A little bit different than Matthew. It was a dark time that Isaiah was living in. It was the 8th century BCE, and Isaiah's tiny homeland of Palestine was invaded by the giant Assyria no less than 5 times. Assyria's invasion of Palestine was brutal, and their only goal was to annihilate their enemy and establish for all time Assyria's rule over the conquered land. Israel's traditions, their customs, their religion, their culture were all to be decimated. Decimated. Farmers didn't know if their newly planted crops would still be standing at harvest. Mothers didn't know if their newly born babies would grow to be children. For the people of Israel, every day was uncertain. People lived each day, every moment, in complete fear and absolute dread. This cannot be underestimated. And yet, in that dark time of death and destruction and complete conquest, the voice of Isaiah comes speaking hope. "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Isaiah writes as one who has been battered and battered and battered and yet still believes in the hope of God. These words of peace and wholeness come from a time of war and cruelty beyond measure, from one who believes that God can redeem even this. "But there will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has now shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time on, ever and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Even in the midst of a never-ending war and the possibility of the total annihilation of his family and his home, Isaiah announces a vision of hope and promise and peace and justice and light and life and well-being. God's people will be saved, rescued, consoled. God will turn death and destruction into light and life. Joy will be heard. Peace will reign. Isaiah announces that God will act to save his people, as does Matthew centuries later. We most frequently hear these words of Isaiah during the season of Advent, as we await, as we anticipate the birth of Jesus, that precious baby Jesus fresh from God. But Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, puts the words of the prophets here in chapter 4, as Jesus now takes up the work of John the Baptist, who has been arrested. Remember, John and Jesus both proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." To proclaim the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus, Matthew makes an announcement to the nations. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has now dawned. The light of God has dawned and is here, now, in the person of Jesus. God's people once again will be saved, rescued, and consoled, but this time that's not all. Matthew's passage about the light dawning is immediately followed by Jesus calling for repentance, and then, in turn, by his calling for people to leave work and family immediately. Jesus begins to preach saying, "Repent, turn around, the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus calls to Peter and Andrew, James and John as they are fishing in the sea, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." Peter and Andrew, James and John, you know where they are? In the middle of the sea. They're in the middle of a work day. What do they say? They don't say, 5 o'clock, gotta wait till 5. James and John don't say, "Excuse me, let's go ask our daddy. Excuse me, dad." Because they're in the boat with their daddy. It's a family business. You know, family business. Gotta ask dad. No. Immediately, they leave their work and they follow Jesus. Immediately, Matthew says, immediately. Middle of the sea. It's a little wet. Immediately, they leave and they follow Jesus. They leave their work. They follow Jesus. The light that consoles and rescues is now also the light that expects us to immediately change our ways and live in that light. Immediately. If we are to walk in the light, we are to live in the light. We are consoled, we are saved, we are rescued. And we are called to walk out of our own darkness. We are called to live as those who have indeed seen the light of God. The call to us in the Gospel of Matthew is the call to continually turn away from darkness, the call to continually walk out of our darkness. Whatever it is the call to bask in the light of God. We all have our own darkness, our own places of fear, our own places of destruction. For some of us, it's aging and getting old. It's not an easy thing to do. For some of us, it's change. For some of us, it's old hurts, broken relationships that have never been healed. For others, It's loneliness, the feeling of insignificance, powerlessness. We all have our own darkness, and sometimes, if we are truthful with ourselves, if we are honest, sometimes we prefer to stay within our own darkness because, as scary as it is, it demands nothing of us. It doesn't ask anything of us. It just lets us be there. And it's easy just to stay there. And that's why we have been given to each other. As God has come to carry us out of the darkness in the person of Jesus, so we provide the light that carries another out of the darkness. It doesn't take much. First service, we sang this little light of mine a few weeks ago. Just a little bit of light to help carry another person out of darkness. It's kind of like deep inside one of the caves at Mammoth Cave National Park in Kentucky. Anybody ever been there? Mammoth Cave? Inside one of the caves? Any of y'all ever been there? Yeah? Deep in the cave room in the onyx chamber of the Frozen Niagara Tour, the tour guide had us all sit on benches along the footpath. When everyone was seated, he asked us all to be very still and very, very quiet. When everyone was quiet, he turned off all the electric lights. And Karen Yost nearly jumped out of her skin. I grabbed John's arm and did not let go. We sat in total and complete darkness for just a few seconds. That seemed like a month. That's the kind of darkness that your eyes will never adjust to. It's the kind of darkness in which eyes are completely useless, which is why the shrimp, the fish, the crayfish that live in the cave don't have eyes anymore. They don't need them. They don't need them. And yep, I was more than a little uncomfortable, heart beating out of my chest. And then, in the total and complete darkness, our tour guide lit a small lighter. One very small flame lit the entire area that we sat in, this huge chamber in this cave. One small flame was enough light for all of us to see clearly in that darkness. One small flame was enough for my terrified heart to quit pounding. Not enough for me to let go of him, but enough for my heart to quit pounding. One small sliver of light to ease the fear of darkness. At Mammoth Cave, it was Johnny's arm. Watching Dark Shadows after school as a child, it was sitting right up against my mother's side. A kind word, an unexpected offer of help, a phone call that says, "I was just thinking of you today and wanted to know." sitting with a friend in the surgery waiting room. Laughter, friendship, a shared joy, a shared sorrow, sharing burdens of our hearts, these are the not so small slivers of light that we share with each other. These are the light of God shining through the darkness of our world so that we are able to see that God is here present with us now. The light of God is shining brightly upon us, and we are a people who have seen a great light. We answer the call of Christ daily to live in the light of God, and we are a people who, with even one single small flame, light the way for one another. One small light will do. And we know in this season of Epiphany, in this season of light, and in all the seasons of our life and our living, we know, we all know, that the light shines in the darkness. Well, you know how it ends. You know how it ends. Let us pray. O God of light and life and all things good, you are our light and our salvation. Lead us out of our darkness. Open our eyes that we may see your saving light. Open our hands and our hearts so that we may illumine the darkness of another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Closing hymn is, I Am the Light of the World. If you would like to make a confession of faith and become a part of our church family or transfer membership, we invite you to come forward as we sing.